Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. As I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching never changed anything.
And today's It's My House is titled Bloggersville, e-commerce fulfillment village, 619-768-2945. And thanks to our co-host and producer today, Robin Maven. We're going to have Robin on as we play a few audios. But I was looking for a leverage, something to leverage what we're doing. Me and Robin went to that discussion. So anyway, fulfillment, she broke all that down. So I'm going to bring her on after we play a few audios so she can give you the near millionaire philosophy she just spelled it out to me. So, Bloggersville, e-commerce fulfillment village. Now, before I go to the audio, our location in Taft, Oklahoma, which is titled, it's just a field right now, about an acre and a half, that's already named Earth Wealth Energy Village. So that will be in that neck of the woods, our e-commerce fulfillment village there. Because what we'll be doing is our main thing is producing off-grid housing. So in that neck of the woods, that'll be our e-commerce fulfillment village. And we'll go into details on that later in this podcast. And now we've already had that place for a couple of years. Now we're ready to build on it. Now, the location that we have in escrow is all the pieces of land that we do have, they'll be fulfillment campuses, e-commerce fulfillment campuses, and we call them villages. The one that we have in escrow that we need to get settled is in Pembroke, Illinois, and that's Bloggersville. That's Bloggersville. We brainstormed with some people right here on Blog Talk and got that name, Bloggersville. That's an hour, that's located in Pembroke, Illinois, an hour away from Chicago. So that will also be an e-commerce fulfillment village, and we're going to come back and tell you what all that entails. So with that said, let's do some audio on fulfillment.
The effective fulfillment of e-commerce orders really introduces a lot of complexity in the fulfillment center operations. There now perhaps is many different styles of picking and waiving of those orders which need to be taken into consideration. Just in those areas alone, the layers of complexity are really unlimited. And so as an organization, you have very serious decisions that you need to make about how that's going to be introduced into your operations and the effect that that will have on your operations. And then you begin to look at the supply chain network as a whole. Do you do this out of one fulfillment center? Do you have multiple fulfillment centers? What's your strategy for slotting that inventory within the facility? And how do you address the variability and velocity in the business? What happens when there's seasonal spikes? What happens when there is perhaps a demand from a new channel, a retail fulfillment, or perhaps a direct-to-business channel that introduces itself? All of these are factors in the area of e-commerce that as the ideas are as unlimited as the constraints that it can put on the business. And so you need to be in a position to make decisions and introduce business processes that you can continually enhance and constantly improve to maintain your effectiveness in your e-commerce fulfillment business plans.
The complexity in dealing with e-commerce shipments is growing simply because of the variability in order volumes. A customer may order one item off of your website. They might order two or more items off of your website. And the way that you deal with single item shipments versus multi-item shipments could differ substantially. The way that you deal with significant volumes of single item shipments or significant volumes of multiple item shipments can differ substantially. On Monday or Tuesday, after the significant order accumulation over the weekend, you may be dealing with significant volumes. On Wednesday through Friday, you might be dealing with small amounts of shipments. You're going to need a system that has multiple picking styles, multiple waving styles, replenishment, pick bin replenishment capabilities, random slotting. All of those kinds of things are required to make sure that you can fulfill in this growing complexity.
With the effective fulfillment of e-commerce orders, there are many areas that directly impact the operational performance of the business that have to be taken into consideration. Areas such as product velocity, the effectiveness of certain campaigns and the impact of that on the business, in particular seasonal spikes or demand spikes that are introduced into the fulfillment operations. There's the slotting, the warehouse layout, the decisions that need to be made in the network as to whether that's a single e-commerce warehouse that's doing this fulfillment or where there needs to be a different strategy for multiple locations. What about the packing and shipping areas? There are considerations that need to be taken into account there. What's the strategy for the effective consolidation of the multiple line items on an e-commerce order? There's the different waiving methodologies for the different types of orders which perhaps are coming into the business at any one particular point in time, which have to be taken into account. These are all elements that really weigh on an individual who's responsible for the operational effectiveness of an e-commerce fulfillment business model. The effective fulfillment of e-commerce orders really means that the possibilities are endless. Depends on the business model, it depends on the overall strategy that your organization has, and it depends on the opportunities that you have in front of you for e-commerce and omni-channel growth. We've seen so many different e-commerce strategies play out with our customers. For example, perhaps you're in the situation where you feel that at this point you need to be closer to your end consumer. And so that's going to impact the decisions that you make about your supply chain network, whether that's a single distribution center that now needs to become multiple distribution centers. Perhaps you need to consider the impact of what a national network would look like for you, or that could even mean entering into relationships with other partners and the impact that's going to have on your overall supply chain. We've seen, too, where organizations have had to introduce completely new business processes into their fulfillment center operations to address different channels, and then the resulting impact that that has had in their organizations from an inventory perspective and a waiving perspective, how they've had to evaluate how they pack and ship and consolidate orders out of their facilities. All of these are areas where businesses today can be struggling, but they don't need to be if they have the right supply chain execution solution that allows them to address what their current needs are, and then to be able to adapt and continually improve and expand their business processes and really hone in on what makes their business unique, continue to differentiate themselves and their business model, and to implement a truly effective e-commerce fulfillment strategy. The competitive landscape of e-commerce and omnichannel really necessitates that organizations continually look at how they're addressing their supply chain network in this area and how they're introducing business processes in this area to have effective fulfillment of these types of orders, and how they're not missing opportunities that present themselves. And so this is particularly an area in the ongoing effectiveness of your strategy in e-commerce fulfillment and your overall omni-channel strategy, where you have to be nimble and you have to continually look at the opportunities as they present themselves and know with confidence that you have a supply chain execution solution that's going to allow you to go wherever it is that the market dictates you have an opportunity.
What's up, everybody? Tanner with another video. And sorry, it's been a little while since my last video. I've been super busy with school and work and everything. So today I'm going to be showing you how I made almost $20,000 drop shipping last week in one day. And believe it or not, this was all through influencer marketing on Instagram. And if you watch some of my past videos, you'll know that I believe fully in influencer marketing on Instagram, that it has a ton of power. And Facebook ads also have the same amount of power, probably more, because you can target a specific audience. But the thing is, being able to come knowledgeable at Facebook ads and being able to be profitable with your ads and make money from it. And that's the thing with influencer marketing. You put up a certain amount of money for a shout out and you don't know if it'll make you money or not, but you try it, and if you make money from it, you just put more and more money until you're essentially reinvesting just to make more and more money. And that's what I did. But on that day last week where I made over $18,000, I put about $6,150 into influencer marketing. So what I was doing is essentially reinvesting my money. So the night of, before I made $18,000 on, that was Monday, I believe, I was on a call with Hayden Bowles, and we were talking a little bit about influencer marketing and drop shipping. And around that night, it was about 10 o'clock p.m., I decided, why not just put some money into influencer marketing? So I put maybe $500 into ads that night at 10 p.m., and I made $2,200 in 2 hours before the day was over. I was like, oh my god, I gotta put way more money into this. So the next day, I had school, it was a Monday, so I was like, I need to figure all this out. So what I did was, that night, I actually scheduled a bunch of ads for the next day. and I talked to all of the influencers, paid them all that night, and then the next day I had them scheduled so that they would be up all hours of the day with different pages, and about $6,000. So that put me on about probably 50 million followers total that day. It was just a normal day at school, check my phone every once in a while, and I just noticed it started blowing up, order. My phone would not stop. So I had to turn off notifications for Shopify, PayPal, whatever, and my phone would just not stop. So many orders. So by around 12 o'clock p.m., I was in lunch at school, and I noticed I was already at about $7,000. It's like, let's hit 10K, see what happens. And little did I know, by 3 o'clock, when I get out of school, I was already at 12,000. So my money had almost doubled in 3 hours. It was blowing up so fast. So I really didn't know what to do. I never had this many orders in one day. And so I started talking with some friends, asking them about it, if they had had this many orders in one day and how they handled all of it, fulfilling all of them and how it works. And I decided just that day, I was just going to let it ride, see what happens. I wasn't going to focus too much on everything. I just wanted to see how much I would make by the end of the day. So by the end of the night before 12, I had reached $18,200 or something like that. I don't remember the exact number, but it was over $18,000. And I was just thinking in my head, how do I keep this going? So what I did, I just scheduled ads for the whole week, and I actually grossed over 10 grand a day last week just from influencer marketing. So that should show you guys that influencer marketing works, and it all depends on what product you're selling, what kind of ad you're creating, and what pages you're buying from. So if you follow those three steps, I think I talked about it in one of my last videos on how to create an influencer marketing ad and how to target the right pages. So you just need to go through those steps and figure out what's right for you. And once you do that, you need to have a little bit of money to put up front. And say you put in $100 and you make $100 profit back. And then you put that $100 profit back into more ads and more ads and more ads. And then eventually it'll be up to me, like you'll make 18 grand or more in a day. It's just about how much you reinvest. Because if you're not putting any money back into your business, it's not going to grow. That's just how it works. And another thing I noticed over the past week is that more money equals more problems. So over the past few days, I've actually had my PayPal locked, my bank locked, my AliExpress has been messed up, my Overload's been messed up with syncing orders, and it's just been a pain. And I actually have two people working for me right now as virtual assistants, but it's just a pain having to manage everything. So this is my first time making this much in such a fast period of time. So now I'm going to learn from all my mistakes that I made making this much this fast, and how I can know how to handle them in the future when I have this many orders this fast. So you definitely need to be prepared, and I'll make a video going over some of the things that I've had problems with having this many orders in one day, but they're all good problems. I'm not complaining at all, and I'm just grateful to be able to make this much money at such a young age, and there's just so many opportunities out there that not a lot of people realize, and I'm glad that I'm able to find them by myself and from the help of some business friends. And it's been a fun ride, but over the past 2 days, I've actually stopped marketing for that business just so I can make sure all the current orders can be fulfilled and prepared correctly, because I want to make sure those get fulfilled and the supply can handle everything before I go and putting more and more money into it. So I invested in it for a week and it made around 75 grand. It's still making money, but not as much because I'm not putting ads up. But now I'm just taking the time this week to make sure everything's getting fulfilled and that everything's running smoothly with responding to emails and stuff like that. And another thing is, I'm still in high school, so I have to go to school for 8 hours a day. But I mean, that's just the way life goes, and I have to deal with it. So, all good problems for me this week. And I'm super happy this happened now, because now I know how to make 20 grand a day and how to be prepared for it so I can manage all the orders. So, you'll be seeing 20 grand a day soon, almost every day. And see you in the next video, guys. Make sure to leave a like, comment, and subscribe. Peace.
And that's a teenager in school. You heard him say it, that his income just for that one day was, $20,000. But people, that's where not only where the ball is going, that's where the ball is. That's where the ball is. I would suggest go study, I call it YouTube University. I mean, you learn some real stuff on there. And the good thing about it, you can reach out to these people. It is social networking. I mean, social media, you do social networking. This, now, that's $20,000. Let's go to somebody that did $30,000 in a month through fulfillment.
Hey, everybody. It's Jordan, Millionaire Millennial. I want to talk today about what I do on Amazon to make money. So in previous videos, I've talked about arbitrage and, well, I guess that's it so far. I want to talk today about private labeling, which is exactly what I do to make pretty good income on Amazon. Private labeling is buying a product from a supplier, typically overseas, typically in China, and having your own label, your own brand name put on the product and then selling it. For example, if I wanted to sell like microfiber cloths, right? I could take this microfiber cloth, just very basic blank microfiber cloth. I could put my brand name on it, you know, Jordan Kilburn's microfiber cloth. I don't know, whatever. Whatever brand name you want to come up with, and that's the beauty of it. You can make your own brand name, and it can be whatever you want it to be. And then you just import these from, you know, overseas, and you sell them on Amazon as your brand name. And so what I'm going to do in this video is kind of go through the process.
Now, before we play the rest of his video, we had to restart it, and he does $30,000 a month, a millennial. He just basically gave you the formula of what made Steve Jobs and Wozniak billion, multi-billionaires. Apple is a private label. Anybody can put together their own, hell, you can go to Alibaba now, online. Anybody can pick out a computer, basic model, and add, you know, your kind of design and what kind of specs you want, and put your own label on it. Apple computers, Steve Jobs was basically a salesman. Apple computers is really Wozniak. He's the steak, Jobs was the sizzle, he was the salesman, but no matter how you slice the cake, Apple Computers is a private label, which anybody listening to this podcast can do the exact same thing those guys did. And they were pioneers. And really, it's sort of still in the pioneer phase. Nike, or Nike as some people call it, same shit. You know, you find a company, and there's plenty of them out there, many of them are in Africa and Asia because labor is dramatically less expensive in those countries. It's not slave labor. It's just inexpensive labor by Western standards. But Western people buy the stuff. Walmart, same shit. A lot of his stuff comes from, matter of fact, a lot of stuff that's sourced, that they give credit to made in China, really is made in Africa. But stamp made in China. But that's what Nike is, too. It's a private label. All right, where were we? Okay, here, let's go to another one. This is on $70,000 a month. And the reason why I'm putting these figures out here, people need to start thinking bigger. Because with inflation, you're going to have to start, you know, if you're making $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, maybe $5,000 a month, you're going to have to start thinking bigger. Because it's always been here. And instead of getting that second job or third job, you're going to have to, well, you can do it. You don't have to do anything. You know, people making $15,000 a month, $20,000 a month, $30,000 a month, $50,000 a month. That's what I'm saying. Go to YouTube University, watch these videos, and reach out to these people. If you see anything that's to your liking, go for it, because that's where the ball – inflation ain't stopping.
Hey, what's going on, guys? In this video, I'm going to tell you about exactly how you can do $70,000 a month in gross sales off one product. I'll be going over the numbers on this product. So I'll be going over the fees involved. I'll be going over how many of these sell. I'll be going over the current buy box and everything you need to know numbers-wise about this product. And a product like this is a very common product you can see from a supplier. If you've created a good relationship with a good authorized supplier that sells out brand name products, this will just be something that's not like huge eye-opening, or it's just gonna be a good solid product you take a deal on. And any single person on this planet could go sell this product. However, I don't think any single person will, because it's going to take somebody who wants to work. If you do not want to work, and if you don't want to change your mindset about how you think about work and how you think about entrepreneurship, then just turn off this video and go leave and go do something else, because it takes somebody who wants to get up and work to build this relationship to get that type of supplier. But it's worth it in the end. But again, not any single person can do this, but it just depends what kind of mindset you have. So enough talking, let's get into this.
Okay, I'm going to get the ASIN that I'm talking about. I'm going to copy it into Amazon, see what product I am talking about. So go into here, go into Amazon, you just paste in the ASIN, and it's going to be this Bose product. Bose, just a little mini Bluetooth speaker too. So the first thing I always check is I want to see this product actually sells. And I know some people, they go off the customer reviews to see if it sells. I mean, I guess if there's been a customer review, or you can tell that it has sold, but I want to see exactly how many sell, because if I'm going to go make a purchase from a supplier, I need to know about how much quantity I need to purchase. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to check the rank. So I'm going to scroll down to the middle of the page, and it's going to say 167 in cell phones and accessories. And you're going to notice it says number 7 in electronics, home and audio, wireless and stream audio. I'm not going to care about those subcategories. The only thing I care about is the biggest category, which is always going to be the biggest number. So right in this scenario, I'm going to care about 167 in cell phones and accessories. And then what I'm going to do with that rank is I need to plug it into some type of calculator that's going to convert that rank into sales in a month. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to this free tool called just JungleScout/Estimator. All right, so I'm at JungleScout's free estimator tool. They do offer free, other paid services. However, I don't use those. I feel like this is the most helpful thing I could possibly use. And all I'm going to do is go to the responding category, and I'm going to plug in the rank. So you go 167, which we had before in the Bose thing. And we're going to realize there's 4,481 estimated sales per month. However, you're not going to get every single one of those sales. So if we go back to the ASIN, we're going to realize there's going to be other competitors. And Amazon likes to rotate the buy box. So if you're going to be in the same price, and if you're able to get in the buy box, then you're going to be able to share those sales. And the person who wins the buy box is whoever's providing the best service. So if we look here, you're going to notice there's a lot of people at 179. All these people.
Okay, I'm going to cut that video short, but I'm just putting this, the numbers that people are making out here. Him, $70,000 a month. Before that, $30,000 a month. Before that, the teenager, $20,000 in a day. This guy's in high school. And then this last audio I'm going to play is somebody who's put up a one-page website. And my website is one page. I like video websites because a lot of people are just not going to flick through all these pages and all this, and a lot of people are not going to read. People these days have, including me, the attention span of a flea. With my website, which I had to update because of what we're doing, I basically put videos up with very little writing. And let the video tell the story. Anyway, this last video, audio I'm going to play for today, he's going to tell a story with his one-page website, and he does $1 million a year. And people, that's where the ball is going. Matter of fact, that's where the ball is, and that's where the ball is going. It's as simple as that. Those who don't jump on this e-commerce will be left behind like the dinosaur.
All right, so here's how you make $1 million online with a crappy one-page website. My name is Dan Brock, the Deadbeat Super Affiliate, and if you're trying to create a passive income online business from the comfort of your living room sofa, this is the channel for you. So make sure you hit that subscribe button and then tick that bell icon so that you're notified of any videos that I release when I release them. All right, so in this video, I'm going to reveal what is the lazy man's holy grail. I don't know why I just did that. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Anyway, let's jump right on in, and I'll show you exactly what you need to know. Here we go. All right, Deadbeat, so I saw an ad on YouTube the other day from someone claiming that they made $1 million with a simple one-page website. So in this video, I'm going to break down how you can do it too, following this super simple strategy. All right, so what you see on the screen here is a mock squeeze page that I created for a specific health niche. So this is the how to get a six-pack ab niche, and I've actually targeted this squeeze page to a specific age group. So you'll notice that's 50 years or older. So basically, the older you get, and this I'm noticing it now, the bigger your one-pack beer gut gets along with it. Now, I've never really been into the whole six-pack abs thing because I'm a lazy deadbeat, but I know there are other people out there who want it as well. So basically, the older you get, the harder it is to get a six-pack. So what you can do is create a free report. This is what I'm doing with this particular strategy, and give that away as a freebie. So here is a very simple mock-up of a squeeze page that converts really, really well. So this conversion rate on this particular style of squeeze page is 50 to 60% with warm traffic. So you'll notice that it's just a headline, a subheadline, and a call to action with the opt-in form. I'm only asking for email, but you can ask for names as well. I like doing just email only because the opt-in rate is a little bit better. Although there are different strategies for this, this doesn't mean that it's the only way to do it. So the way this works is this is your one-page website, what you see on the screen here, and on the back end, you create an email sequence that pitches different offers. So just to be clear here, this works better in specific niche markets. So you'll notice in my Deadbeat Super Affiliate system, I don't do email list building. I send directly to a review page, and that is good for desperate niche markets where someone wants a solution right now. This particular topic, though, because it's very health-related as far as weight loss, six-pack abs, there's so much stuff that I can pitch to them and teach them over time that it's better to collect an email address for this particular topic. So in general, there are three topics that are good for this. You've got health, money, anything like investing, saving, debt relief, anything like that. Since it's long-term, it's better to do email lists. Another great thing is hobbies, anything hobby-related. Usually people are very passionate about hobbies, so it makes sense to build a list of people with a specific hobby interest. Like, I used to be really big into card magic. I was a nut about card magic. I literally spent $3,000 to $5,000 on various products online. Another great one is anything like dog related, specific dog breeds. People are just insane about this stuff. They're lifelong passionate people. So it makes sense that you build an email list with those types of people. All right, so you have your squeeze page, and I've talked about this in the past. I'm just going to dive into this a little bit more. Here is the squeeze page. So this was the page that I just showed you. We're just going to do SP for squeeze page. Now, once they're in your email list, what you can do, this is a very basic rule of thumb, is every week promote a new product. So once they opt in to get your free ebook, what you can do is immediately promote, give some good quality content, and immediately funnel those people into a specific offer. So with this, a six-pack ab thing, it could be a guidebook of exercises. Let's just keep it simple. Say product one, week one, you promote a specific program. This could be like Fat Burning Furnace from ClickBank, if that's still available. I still have to do my research about this particular niche. So week one, you're going to do, let's just say it's the ebook program. So ebook program for that. So week one, that's 1 to 7 days. You'll follow up with some good free content, and all that content leads to this offer that you're promoting. Week two can be, let's just say you found some kind of weight loss pills or some kind of pills that reduce someone's appetite or anything like that. There are tons of these out there that work, so you're going to have to do your research and find those. So week two, you would promote that as well. So week two, we got the supplements. That's week two. So again, you'll do this for 7 days. You'll alternate between good free content and promotions and a hybrid of both. So it could be sending them to YouTube videos, it could be a direct email promotion to the offer specifically, or it could be to your blog post that gives more information and leads to an additional offer. Week three, we're gonna bust into a different type of product. So this could be, just off the top of my head, it could be like an ab rolling machine that you've brokered a deal to get commissions on, you know, those goofy little things with the wheels on them and the handles, you can do this. That could be week three. Week three. So the ab roller. AR for that. Ab roller. Same deal with this, is because it could be YouTube videos of you using the ab roller, or it could be a specific promotional email about getting 50% off for the ab roller. It's really that simple. Now, there are tons of different strategies to do this, but I found that a very good rule of thumb is just promote one new product every week Again, there are different ways to go about this. So what you want to do is just repeat this for 4 weeks. Here's the last product. Off the top of my head, I don't know what this could be. This could be virtual personal trainer. Let's just do that. Virtual personal trainer, something like that. All right, so all of these give you affiliate commissions. All these will stack up. And again, because this is an autoresponder and it's done automatically for you, all you have to do is worry about sending traffic to the squeeze page. And again, that is this page that you see right here. So these traffic sources can be a large number of things. This could be your blog. Let's say you have a 100-page blog on six-pack abs. That could send your squeeze page. This could also be your YouTube channel. You could have a call to action at the end of your YouTube videos to get your free six-pack ab after 50 ebook. This can also be paid traffic, so Bing ads. I've used that a lot in the past and still do to this day, Bing ads. This could be Facebook traffic. This could be YouTube ads if you have a YouTube channel. And all these traffic sources direct right to your squeeze page. Now, depending on the service you go with, there might be some rules about that, like Facebook's a little bit more strict. You are going to have a little bit a higher quality squeeze page than this. Now, another key to this is if you really want to get this to work, is you have to split test like crazy. This page here, you have to constantly tweak this page to get the best results. So this is a little bit more intermediate, but you have to continually split test all your traffic and get this page to convert better and better. So this could be as simple as adding a video here. You add a video, it's just a 30-second clip that says, you know, welcome to the page, get my free guide, here's what's in it. This could help. Another thing is you could play around with your headlines. You could play around with your subheadline. You could play around with adding additional fields here. You can play around with your button. Believe it or not, the button has a big effect on your overall opt-in rate. All right, so there you have it. That's exactly how it's done. Now, just keep in mind, this is a little bit more advanced than what I teach in my Deadbeat Super Affiliate System, but you can earn crazy money when you start implementing email marketing, list building, and squeeze pages into your affiliate campaigns. So in the near future, I'm aiming for a September release date. I am actually releasing a brand new program which shows you how, step-by-step, how to do everything that I talked about in this video. So we're talking all the technical stuff, how to do it from scratch in any niche market that you're talking about. So just keep an eye out for the new program. It is going to be more expensive than my Deadbeat Super Affiliate System, but the earning potential with this new method is a lot more. We're talking around $50,000 to $60,000 a month in profit doing exactly this. So all in all, it is a little bit more involved, but it is worth it once you master these principles. So keep an eye out for the new program. Also, if you want to get started in the meantime, at the top right of this video is a video card. This shows you step-by-step how to create an affiliate marketing campaign from scratch. We're talking everything from keyword research, market research, creating a website, getting traffic so that you can start earning affiliate commissions today. This will help you build up to this point that we talked about in this video. So get that guide here right now. It's 100% free, or you can click the video card or go to deadbeatuniversity.com/guide. All in all, my name is Dan Brock, the Deadbeat Super Affiliate. I hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, join the Deadbeat Revolution today by clicking the circle subscribe button right here underneath this video. Also, to the left of me is that free guide that I just talked about. Click the image to get that. And also check out all the other videos on my channel to learn more about making money online. My name is Dan Brock, the Deadbeat Super Affiliate. I'll see you Deadbeats later.
Okay, today's podcast is titled Bloggersville, a e-commerce fulfillment village, 619-768-2945. I'm about to open up our co-hosts and producers of mine today, Robin, who gave me some good leverage millionaire advice last night. As of last night, okay, after the conversation with Robin, all the land that we've purchased will essentially be e-commerce fulfillment villages. Because why reinvent the wheel? All we're doing is basically modeling every one of the audios we played today, the teenager in high school, I think that guy is like 15 or 16. He earned $20,000 in one day off of his website. Another, this, you know, the audio we just heard, $1 million a year off of a one-page website. That's over $83,000 a month. The other guy that earns $30,000, if you go to YouTube, there's a never-ending supply of videos of people earning money off e-commerce. Even Amazon, for the most part, Jeff Bezos' platform, which really isn't unusual with e-commerce, all people are doing, you have people that are becoming millionaires or earning a living. Let's even take the millionaire part out. You have people that are earning a living doing e-commerce between their kitchen table or spare bedroom or garage or even driveway. They're taking in what people make in a year, in a month, out of their driveway, backyard, bedroom, or what have you. These are the times that we live in now. All right, so the good thing about social media, you can see these videos, you can contact, it's real easy to contact these people these days and pick their brain, because most of the time, they're not going to ask you for a penny. You can pick their brain and make a new friend and see how they did it, whatever the, you know, whatever interests you online. A business opportunity, whatever. So you got people from building houses to one blog talk I did last year. I think it was on Girl Boss. Let me look that up. I saw a movie on Netflix, which was, let me just double check this, Girl Boss. Yeah, sure did. On Netflix, I don't know if it's still on there, there was a Netflix series titled Girl Boss on a true story. Struggling millennial, I guess what she's portrayed as a millennial in the movie, out in the California, coastal town in California, which is expensive, was struggling, broke, even shoplifted one or two times. However, she got a hold of an item and just happened to put it up on eBay, and it sold. She made a profit. Then she did it again and made a profit. And then she networked with some other people. Like I say, the good thing about social media, you can meet some very interesting people globally as well as locally on these platforms like eBay, Amazon, Facebook, MySpace, you name it. Then she started to do estate sales and then buying low and then putting it up on it. Long story short, she became a multimillionaire. She wrote a book about it. It's called Girl Boss. The web series Girl Boss still might be on Netflix. If not, you can probably go to Amazon and check it out. And there's a never-ending supply of stories like that. Now, there are also people that haven't had luck with it, okay? But the way I look at it like this, any mistake you make, all right, as long as you don't, no matter how much money you lose, even if you declare bankruptcy, as long as you don't quit, because I'm one of these never-say-die people, it ain't over till it's over and the life's out of your body. Because mistakes basically point you in the direction that you should go in. That's how I look at it. So a lot of it's not clean and sanitized. You know, they had their ups and downs, but that's okay. It's the downs that point you in the directions of how you can get back up, or which direction you should turn in. All right. So these people are very accessible, and you're going to have to think in terms of earning $15,000 a month, earning $25,000, $30,000, $50,000 a month. Because with inflation, that's where before we were, everybody listening to me on this podcast right now, before we were born, inflation was here. It's here, our whole lives are going to be here after we leave. So at one time, $300 a month household income here in the United States was okay to get you by. But due to inflation, it ain't. And at one time, $3,000 a month was all right to get you by. And in still some households, depending on how you live and what part of the country that you live in, they can still get you by today in 2019. However, if you live in some cities like Los Angeles, Miami, San Francisco, those places, Boston, Massachusetts, Washington, D.C., $3,000 a month, you might be struggling, depending on your lifestyle and where you live in those particular metro areas. So then you need to, you know, you need to think about putting a zero behind that $3,000 a month and earning $30,000 a month. And their peak. Now, going back to college in most cases, and I'm a college graduate myself, you're going college basically. It's not in real time. It's bureaucratic, and a lot of. Matter of fact, I'll bring in some college professor friends of mine that I went to college with, and they will tell you how college courses become college courses. All right, most college courses are not given in real time of what's happening in a particular industry. Not in all cases, but in many cases. And what's happening right now that's really not on the radar with a lot of colleges, even the government, all right? These industries that are in the infancy, embryo stage, or even pioneer stage to a higher degree, they're not offering college courses in these at all. Just like you take, matter of fact, let me give you an example. 6 years ago, and I've shared this story with you, in Washington, D.C., this is the basis of It's My House. I gave a salary to a person to be a house sitter. Don't pay me a penny's worth of rent. Just when the bills come in from you using electricity and gas and internet, you pay that. Directly to them. You used it. I'm not here. Just send it directly to them. That worked out for 2 years. Then when I wanted the house back and they had to go, you know, then they went to the government and all this other rigmarole, which I've covered that in other podcasts. The reason why they were able to top practically 3 years of my life is because houses, particularly in larger cities, houses and rooms are regulated. They're regulated. At one time, we go 50 years ago, anybody can let somebody in your house, rent it out, no problem. A lot of people did it, helped raise the kids, even send some people to college, but just by renting rooms and houses, spare room houses. But in 2019, in your larger cities, you know, these local governments are really strapped for cash. So they're trying to look at every form of human behavior, you know, parking tickets. You know, you can't park your car in this particular area for a certain amount of time. You got to have a residential parking ticket for this or that. Even the alleys now in Washington, D.C., and not maybe all over the city, but in a lot of residential neighborhoods, you know, they got rules and regulations for parking in the back of your own fucking house. But that's in your larger cities, not all of them, but many of them, like New York, Chicago, Boston, San Diego, probably Dallas area. You know, they got these because these local municipalities, which many of them now have unionized government employees, which it is not, if not like American labor wasn't already expensive, unionized American workers is more expensive, and it's going to come from, where they're going to get it from? The real estate people in that particular jurisdiction. All right. Regulated out of hell. How in the hell did this kid that I played the audio on, I'm going to play back part of his audio again. How did this kid earn $20,000? And he's not the only one. If you go to YouTube, there are kids 13 years old building their own tiny houses. I'm going to play this, and I'm going to tell you the distinction between them and the bullshit I had to go through 6 years ago. And it has, and all you hotep motherfuckers that think it's racism, you're crazy. Play this. I'm going to break it on down after this.
What's up, everybody? Tanner with another video. And sorry it's been a little while since my last video. I've been super busy with school and work and everything. So today I'm going to be showing you how I made almost $20,000 drop shipping last week in one day. And believe it or not, this was all through influencer marketing on Instagram. And if you watch some of my past videos, you'll know that I believe fully in influencer marketing on Instagram, that it has a ton of power. And Facebook ads also have the same amount of power, probably more, because you can target a specific audience. But the thing is, being able to become knowledgeable at Facebook ads.
Okay, I'm not going to play the whole 5 minutes. Let's listen to some of the, all right, number one, he's in school. He's like 15 years old, something like that, 15, 16. He's in school. He may earn at least $20,000 in a day. That's just one day. Still going to school. But how do you do it? Influencer marketing. That's the operative word. Instagram and Facebook. Okay. Instagram and Facebook is not regulated by any government on the planet. That's how he did it. I got jammed up because I was in that piece of property, real estate, is in a city, Washington, D.C., which is regulated out of the ass. Where the ball is going, is, and all of the audios I played today, he was the lowest one on the totem pole. You've got to get, if you want to prosper in the United States, it was 2019, from here on out, you need to learn. Now, it's not the only thing now. It's not the only thing, but you need to be, get yourself educated on e-commerce. Because right now, local, state, and federal governments have, now you can get taxed. That's how he was able to do it. You got to get into something that has little or zero regulation. And that's why Bezos, Nike, and a whole host of people and the people that are on there are making millions. Like I say, not everybody on Amazon and eBay are millionaires, but the numbers are growing. And let's even cancel that. There's a bunch of people on Amazon, eBay, MySpace, Facebook, Instagram, people like this teenager, there's a never-ending supply of these people, which you're in reach, and the common denominator is they're getting involved with e-commerce, which has little or no government regulation, depending on your particular niche. So Bloggersville, which we have to close on in Pembroke, Illinois, it will be an e-commerce fulfillment village. One of the things that we shall be doing is building off-grid housing, not real estate, housing. And we'll go through the breakdown of that probably starting tomorrow. Now, what we'll be doing in Bloggersville, in Pembroke, Illinois, that's our way. We can't do it in Chicago. Chicago's too regulated. In Taft, Oklahoma, we have Earth Wealth Energy Village. And both of those come of our nation. Our nation is called Podcastan. And these are just two locations within that. We can do that there. But we 45 minutes away in Tulsa, Oklahoma, too many rules and regulations. Amazon, another reason why Amazon is prospering, and Bezos is not the only one doing this, but there's a whole bunch of people on Amazon who are feeding their family. Their sole source of income comes from the family business that might be in the spare bedroom or the garage or the backyard. There are people earning $20,000 a month in their bedrooms via e-commerce on Amazon, eBay. You got all these platforms. You got all kind of ways to get paid today. Cash App, Zelle. I don't count PayPal, but there's PayPal. There's Apple Pay. So there's several ways people can get paid now. Now, granted, there's a lot of jobs that you got to go in. You know, you can't work at Taco Bell. You got to go into Taco Bell. All right. A lot of government jobs you got to go into. Not all of them, because a lot of people that work for the government are telecommuting. But those of you who are looking to, well, like I say, it's all there on YouTube. You got people that are doing live streams. I mean, they're basically the common denominator is they're dealing with niches that are basically have very little or no regulation. And if you don't jump, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people will be left behind or are being left behind because they are not educating themselves to e-commerce, social media, and social networking in this electronic mass communication age. Let's go to Robin. Robin, any comments?
No, you pretty much covered it. Fulfillment and affiliation. Yes. So, yeah. You got me started on that with the cooperation. And
I was telling you this morning, yesterday, you have... just as an example, some of the people that I watch on YouTube, they've made, and there's a bunch of them on there. Everybody's got their own favorites, but I'm going to just name some of the people I watch. There's a guy named Timothy De La Ghetto. He's Thai American. And this guy, he's got to be no older than 35. He might not even be 30, but he's done, and he does a lot of little comedy skits, you know. There's just like a gazillion other people on YouTube, but he does a lot of collaborations. So not only has that given them, you know, enough, I mean, you might see him in Australia, not Australia, but Austria or someplace like that, but Timothy De La Ghetto earns enough from YouTube videos where he was able to pay off his parents' house. and by doing video collaborations on skits on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Later, because he's married now. This guy, I think, got married last year. He bought like a $900,000 house somewhere out in California. YouTube videos. I mean, collaborations. There's another one, and she's pretty popular. She's got maybe 2 million subscribers. Lily Singh, Canadian Indian. I mean, she's really large now. Once again, collaborations with other YouTubers. On the black side of things, there's a guy named Philip Scott with the Advise Show. He also has a blog talk show. He's got 1 million subscribers. How did he get those 1 million subscribers? Collaborations. So it's, and then it's, I mean, it's a never ending supply of people on YouTube. Name just the platform. The largest players are essentially people that do collaborations. They do collaborations. So, and the concept isn't new at all. I mean, Jesus Christ and the 12 disciples was a collaboration. So they just didn't have an internet connection. Okay, so we've got an internet connection and these various platforms which are easily accessible. I mean, you don't even have to own a phone or a computer. You can go to a library and set yourself up some account and, you know, trial and error. You see what works, you see what doesn't work. And, you know, you go from there. Let's go to 314. Your mic is open.
L.A., what's going on?
Oh, nice sunny day in Florida. That's about it.
You know,
right
some
now.
Of these things, some of these things are nothing but gimmicks. You
I'm
have somebody.
Trouble.
Yeah, like that last guy. He's selling someone a package on how they can do like someone else done. It's basically what he's doing. Those things exist.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, just think about it. And also, there's some legal ramifications in taking someone else's manufactured and produced items and putting your name on it without getting their express permission.
Right.
Then you have approximately 19,600,000 African black people in this country that's above the age of 18. And 19,600,000 of them are not going to be doing this type of activity.
Right again.
If you go to Alibaba and buy a lawnmower and pay them $200 for it, then you bring it back to the States or wherever and put your name on it and try to sell it for $300. Well, smart buyers is going to go out and find that same lawnmower that you bought and trying to jack the price up in order to make a product. So things like this are phenomenal and for people that wants to get involved in it. I think that, and you know, I hear people saying that blacks need to have their own business. Well, everybody can't have a business because if everybody had a business, then who's going to be doing the activity that's required in order to produce consumers?
Well, not everybody's cut out for business either. So, and realistically, I mean, like you said, some of these, matter of fact, many people, like when you go to a bookstore, which is they're online now, and the personal finance section, you might see books on how to make $1 million. A lot of people are making, a lot of those people, authors who write those books, they earn more money writing about it or writing what somebody else did than what they've actually done with it. So you have that group of people.
Yeah, they're writing a fictitious story. Then, too, on that same thing with the lawnmower, if you're able to do that, suppose 100 more people are able to do that. Sooner or later, you've saturated the market Whereas the price that you bought the lawnmower for, you couldn't give it away for that much. So
that's true, but let's face it. Most people out here are sheep. They're just going to go through the motions and go get that 9-to-5 with. Let's face it, by the time people reach 12th grade, they have been conditioned for life. And, which I'm not saying anything wrong with that, but there, you know, go to school, get an education, whatever that means, and get a job. That's the reality of life.
At this last NSBE annual convention, which ended the 31st of March, heck, just with one corporation, Lockheed Martin, they hired 400 young African American STEM graduates, not including the thousands of others that was hired by the other corporations there. There was over 15,000 young people there from elementary on through college, I imagine. But that there is a tried, proved, and tested way in this country that can lead to success. And I recommend
that. That's true. Now, you're right. Because, like I say, most people, by the time they graduate or reach their grade, 17, 18 years old, they've mm-hmm. been conditioned for life. So, to go work for somebody else. So, in that case, you're absolutely right. The STEM professions or STEM degrees is the best way to fly if you're looking to work for somebody else. In other words, you get your 9-to-5. And you get the paycheck, and that paycheck will allow you to live a sustainable life. That's the way to fly.
Yeah, however, a lot of you, because those people coming out of college and doing $87,000 to $88,000 a year. But here's another point too. In order for them to become employers, they have to learn what it is that they're going to compete against their employer presently.
Mm-hmm.
So those that's working, those that are working for another company is actually running a segment of that company's business themselves,
mm-hmm.
because the work that they do is going to produce a lump sum which goes into the overall revenue of the company, and it's important that their segment of what they're doing is that they create clientele, that they service their clientele, that they sell a product, that they go through all the processes that they need in order to create their little revenue niche, which is multiplied hundreds and even thousands of times more by others. So when Boeing sells those planes, it's not just one salesperson that's out there selling planes to other countries and governments around the country, around the world, that is.
Right.
Now, if the individual that's doing it for Boeing for a number of years or a decade, then once they learn the ins and outs of it, they may want to come out and start their own business in an aspect of aviation. Like the sure. one brother down in Atlanta, L&R, I think is the name of his company, that rejuvenates the equipment that's used on the taxiway to push planes back away from the gate, equipment that's used to provide electrical power for the planes while when they turn the engine off and they're sitting there being serviced. So apparently he worked at that before he got enough courage, information, and the skills to start his own business of providing the same service for airlines. So that's usually the way that happened.
Right. That's true. That's true. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, on that note, that's about does it for today. I'm going to cut it short for today. We'll give you more updates tomorrow. Everyone have a good rest of the day.
At Jiffy Lube, we care about cars. In fact, we're kind of obsessed. That's why we've been taking car off business with quick quality oil changes and service for over 40 years. And with things like our Carful Vehicle Review, where our experts check, fill, clean, and inspect your vehicle, you'll know we'll car for your car like we car for our own. Jiffy Lube. Car more.
Visit JiffyLubeDC.com to find a Jiffy Lube service center near you.
Imagínate escuchar tu canción favorita como si fuera la primera vez. Te presentamos el totalmente nuevo y reimaginado Nissan Kicks con sonido Bose Personal Plus y bocinas en la parte superior de los asientos para crear una experiencia 360. Jamás has escuchado algo así. Reimagina tu música y tu forma de manejar. Descubre el totalmente nuevo y reimaginado Nissan Kicks en nissanusa.com. Función disponible. Bose es una marca registrada de The Bose Corporation.